Well, happy Easter. Easter takes us from one extreme to the other, as David Hayward, a cartoonist, shows in this particular cartoon. Jesus getting out of the tomb after hanging on the cross and saying, "What a weekend." Well, basically, Easter is about two events, the crucifixion and the resurrection. And it reminds us that there are crucifixions in every generation and in every life, but that there are also Easter Sundays. It reminds us that in the midst of evil and death, there's also goodness and life. So today, what we're talking about is this. Easter is about breaking out of negativity. So how do we break out of negativity? The people who study this stuff say that we humans have a propensity to give more weight in our minds to the bad stuff that happens than to the good stuff that happens, so much so that when something bad happens, that one negative event can hijack our minds to the degree that it is destructive to how we work, our relationships, to our happiness, and to our health. And we have had this past year our share of negative events. And so it's very hard not to be positive in the midst of such negativity. Our text today takes us into the lives of other people who had some negative events. Mark records, "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought aromatic spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, at sunrise, they went to the tomb. They had been asking each other, 'Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled back. Then as they went into the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is a place where they had laid him. But go tell his disciples, even Peter, that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you.' Then they went out and ran from the tomb, for terror and bewilderment had seized them, it had a hold of them. And they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." Now, if you're following this text in your Bible, you'll see that Mark's story goes on to verse 20. But you'll also see, very likely, a footnote in your Bible that says something like this, that the earliest and best manuscripts end at verse 8. Very literally, it ends with these words, "They were afraid for." I'm kind of a stickler for grammar, and I was taught that you never end a sentence in a preposition, but here you go. "They were afraid for." That is a really weird ending, isn't it? Let me give you a quiz. I'm going to give you some final lines of a movie, and you see if you can guess from which movie that line has been taken. Are you ready for it? Here we go. Here's the line. "So long, partner." Any guesses out there? Yep, you're right. If you guess Toy Story 3. Another line. "There's no place like home." A particular generation is going to get this one, I think, quicker than another generation. "There's no place like home" is the final line, the last line in the movie The Wizard of Oz. Another quiz question. "Roads where we're going, we don't need roads." Love this movie, Back to the Future 2. Not a fan of Back to the Future 3. Another line, last line from a movie. "I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner. Bye." That's a creepy one, isn't it? You're right if you guess Silence of the Lambs. And then this movie, or rather this line, last line from a movie. Love means never having to say you're sorry. And that is the famous line from the famous movie Love Story. Not sure how solid advice that is. Love means never having to say you're sorry. But that was the line, last line from it. You know, some last lines are memorable, some are not memorable. I think Mark's last line in verse 8 is very memorable because it just kind of leaves you hanging. And the last line is just filled with negativity, words like terror, bewilderment, and afraid. So as Mark tells the story, the discovery of Jesus' empty tomb and the message that Jesus is alive did not evoke excitement and joy and praise. Instead, Mark's account, the way Mark told the story, that experience led to silence, anxiety, and fear. The last line in his story is, they were afraid, period. The end. Roll the credits. Well, the women at the tomb were not the only ones afraid of Easter. There have been a lot of us who have been afraid of all things to do with Easter. Well, scholars give us a few reasons why this story ends in verse 8. One reason is the author was interrupted when he was writing. Maybe he had to put his toddler to bed. He never got back to finishing it. A second reason is that the author did write more after that word for, but that part of the story got lost. A third option is this, that the author intentionally ended it hanging with this word preposition for. I really don't know what the answer is. I know that I am drawn to that third option because it means that Mark is honest about the reality of the fact that not all of our stories end neatly and happily. Sometimes the virus lingers. Sometimes the patient does not get well. Sometimes the job doesn't work out. Sometimes the relationship ends. The last verse says, then they went out and ran from the tomb, for terror and bewilderment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. That's it. That's how the Gospel of Mark ends. There's no happy ending there. Where's the risen Jesus? Where are the stories of Jesus talking to Mary Magdalene or to the guys walking on the road to Emmaus? Or the story of Jesus having breakfast with his disciples on the lake after they had fished? See, the Gospel of Mark has nothing like that. And that's why churches rarely read this resurrection story on Easter morning. The editors and the copyists and the translators just could not believe that Mark would really end his story like this in verse 8. They could not resist a Hollywood ending, and so someone somewhere along the way added things like drinking poison without being harmed, casting out demons, handling snakes. And so people, even to this day, follow that promise. Be very careful what we read and what we believe and what we practice. You know, but if we are true to the text and if we wrestle with what it means, I think we'll find the good news from that text this Easter morning. The good news to me is this. The fear that was gripping them, the anxiety that had a hold of them, that's what the Greek word means, it has a hold of you, won't let you go, did not immediately, automatically, or magically let go of them. It took some time. It was true for them, and it's true for us. It takes some time. It takes a while to see the positive when there's been such negativity. It takes a while for us to live in the reality of the resurrection. You know, I wish someone would come to me in a white robe and give me some words of encouragement, give me some reason for optimism and to help us see something good. Someone to make us smile. Kind of like this little boy in this video from Savannah, Georgia. Take a look. That story makes me smile. Story brings a tear to my eye too, though. It breaks my heart what he went through, but it warms my heart how he responded. The power to lift spirits is what that story is about. The resurrection is a story of lifting, of being raised, of lifting our spirits. In the wake of death, this little boy brought and found joy. Maybe those two things are related. And that's the power of the resurrection, finding the light in the darkness. Well, today, April the 4th, is Easter, but it's also the 53rd anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. And I want to give to you, as we get ready to close, a quote from a speech that he gave in 1967. He says, "When our days become dreary with low hovering clouds of despair, and when our nights become darker than a thousand midnights, let us remember that there is a creative force in this universe working to pull down the gigantic mountains of evil, a power that is able to make a way out of no way and transform dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows." Then he tells us what that way is. "If you are seeking the highest good, I think you can find it through love. And the beautiful thing is that we aren't moving wrong when we do it, because the Apostle John was right, God is love. He who hates does not know God. He who loves has the key that unlocks the door to the meaning of ultimate reality." Maybe the resurrection tells us that there is an ultimate reality, from darkness to light, from hate to love. Let's close with a bit of advice from Eeyore. "In our darkness of the crucifixion, it never hurts to keep looking for the sunshine. Find some beautiful sunshine on this beautiful Easter day. Enjoy it."